My friends, the Blessed Mother revealed to the incredible mystic, Venerable Mary of Agreda, three reasons for all of us to take up this incredible forgotten spiritual gift. We're going to talk about that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. First of all, greetings from Buncrana, Ireland. Beautiful, beautiful rainy weather. I love it. That's where I'm at right now. I'm on vacation. But there's never any vacation from purgatory. So today we're going to talk about this incredible idea of penance from the book, The Mystical City of God. We've talked about it. Many of you don't know. Our church doesn't talk about it anymore. It's hard to know if we even believe it. We need this. The only way we're ever going to get to heaven is through penance and becoming masters of it and understanding. Listen to the very words of the Blessed Mother to Venerable Mary of Agreda right here. She says the following, and I'll put the footnote of where you can find this if you want to read this for yourself. Absolutely incredible stuff. My daughter, corporal penances are so appropriate and fitted to mortal creatures that the ignorance of this truth and the neglect and contempt of bodily mortification cause the loss of many souls and bring many more into the danger of eternal loss. Number one, the first reason why men should afflict their body and mortify their flesh is their having been conceived in sin, Psalm 57. By this original sin, human nature is depraved, filled with passions, rebellious to reason, inclined to evil, and adverse to the spirit, Romans chapter 7, verse 23. If the soul allows itself to be carried away by them, it will be precipitated by the first vice into many others. But if this beastly flesh is curbed by mortification and penance, it loses its strength and acknowledges the authority of the Spirit and the light of truth. So many of you that are struggling to submit your flesh to your spirit have to take the way of penance. There's no other way. Penance, as she said, serves to weaken the flesh so that the soul can dominate over it and have it do what it wants. Those verses from scripture that my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. Penance makes the flesh submit to the spirit. And all of us need to know there is no other way. This is how we do it. Number two, the second reason is that none of the mortals have altogether avoided sinning against God, and the punishment and retribution must inevitably correspond to the guilt, either in this life or the next, as in purgatory. Therefore, as the soul commits sin in union with the body, it follows that both of them must be punished. The interior sorrow is not sufficient for atonement. I'm going to say that one again. The interior sorrow is not sufficient for atonement. If the flesh seeks to evade the punishment corresponding to the guilt. Moreover, the debt is so great and the satisfaction that can be given by the creature so limited and scanty that there remains continual uncertainty whether the judge is satisfied even after the exertions of the whole lifetime. Hence, the soul should find no rest to the end of life. Even though divine clemency is so liberal with men, that if they try to satisfy for their sins by penance as far as their limited capacity goes, God remits their offenses and in addition thereto has promised the guilty ones new gifts and graces and eternal rewards. Yet his faithful and prudent servants who really love their Lord are constrained voluntarily to add other penances. For the debtor who merely wishes to do what he is obliged to and adds nothing of his own free will certainly pays his debts, but will remain poor and destitute if after payment of his debts, nothing remains. What then are those to expect who neither pay nor make any efforts towards paying? Let's unpack this second one right now. The Blessed Mother is saying we must pay the punishment of sin in our flesh through penance. There's no other way. Now, in our Catholic Church, we have the sacrament of penance. And when we confess our sins, there should be penance given. The penance that we receive is too light. It must also include corporal penances. We have forgotten this in the church. Did you hear what she said? It's not enough to be interiorly sorry, which is what we need to go to confession. But she's saying you need more. You need more to pay off that debt. That is not enough. And purgatory teaches us this. It's probably the case that many that are in purgatory went to confession and they said their penances. They said their three Our Fathers and two Hail Marys. But that is not enough. Purgatory teaches us that we must take on ourselves voluntary physical suffering if we want to get to heaven. All the saints did this. All of them. No amount of praying is enough. We must also take on corporal punishments that we willingly take on. And she says something else there. We do this not only to pay our debt to God, but also to obtain new graces. Many of the reasons why we don't obtain new graces, healings, conversions, new spiritual gifts, new spiritual insights, which God wants us to do. Why? Because Jesus did it. That's why. It's not enough for us to remain poor. That is not good enough. We must grow in spiritual wealth, grow in holiness, and the only way we can obtain more graces to grow in holiness is through physical penance. All the saints did it. There is no other path. We're going to talk about the third reason, and then we're going to unpack what these can look like and how you can learn more about this. The third reason for bodily mortification, and the most urgent one, is the duty of Christians to imitate their divine teacher and master. Moreover, my divine son and I, without being guilty of any faults or bad inclinations, devoted ourselves to labors and made our lives a continual practice of penance and mortification of the flesh. It was thus that the Lord saw fit to attain the glory of his body and of his holy name, and he wished me to follow him in all things. If we then pursued such a course of life because it was reasonable, what must be thought of mortals that seek naught but sweetness and delight, and abhor all penances, affronts, ignominies, fasting, and mortification? Shall then only Christ our Lord and I suffer all these hardships, while the guilt-laden debtors and deservers of all these punishments throw themselves head over heels into the filth of their carnal inclinations? Shall they employ their faculties given to them for the service of Christ my Lord and for his following merely in dancing attendance on their lusts and the devil, who has introduced evil into the world? This absurd position maintained by the children of Adam is a cause of great indignation in the just judge. It is true, my daughter, that by the bodily afflictions and mortifications of my most blessed son, the defects and deficiencies of human merits have been atoned for, and that he wished me as a mere creature and as one taking the place of other creatures to cooperate with him most perfectly and exactly in all his penances and exercises. But this was not in order to exempt men from the practice of penance, but in order to encourage them to do it. For in order merely to save them, it was not necessary to suffer so much. Our blessed Savior, as a true father and brother, wished also to enhance the labors and penances of those who were to follow in his footsteps. For the efforts of creatures are of little value in the eyes of God unless they are made precious by the merits of Christ. If this is true of works which are entirely virtuous and perfect, how much more is it true of those which are infected with so many faults and deficiencies, even in the greatest acts of virtue, as ordinarily performed by the children of Adam? Let's unpack this, and then we're going to continue. There's a lot to hear here. So sometimes you hear from many people, many Catholics, the question of, they're asking this, what's the least that I have to do to get into heaven? What's the minimal requirement? What's all that the church asks? You are completely in error if you think like this, because Christ came to do as much as is possible, and he wants more from us than the minimum requirement. That is not enough. He does not want us merely to do this or to do that, but to do as much as is possible, not just to pay our debt, but to also grow in wealth. In our life, if you think about your life, you don't just live to pay your credit card debt. Maybe some of you do, but let me suggest to you that that's a terrible idea and unbelievably foolish, speaking nicely. We do not just live to pay our debt, but to grow wealth and to share that wealth with others. We do that physically, naturally speaking, and spiritually. We should not just pay our debts to God, but we should accumulate wealth like the saints, so that after our death, we can distribute our wealth like the saints, your favorite saints. Do you know why they're your favorite saints? Because they're spiritually rich, because they have something to give you, because of sufferings that they voluntarily took on, not just to pay their debts, the minimum, but to have so much wealth in heaven that they can then distribute it to you and be of help to you. This is what we should all do. We should all become as rich as possible, spiritually speaking, treasure in heaven, so that when we die and people ask for our prayers, we can actually help them. This is what she's talking about. Now let's continue. For in the works of even the most spiritual and virtuous persons, many deficiencies occur. These deficiencies are made good by the merits of Christ, our Lord, so that the works of men may become acceptable to the Father. But those who neglect good works and remain altogether idle can by no means expect to apply themselves the good works of Christ. For they have in themselves nothing that can be perfected by the works of Christ, but only such things as deserve condemnation. Did you hear what she just said? She just condemned the Protestant position. We can't do nothing and then expect to offer God the Father the works of Christ, as if that can pay everything. That must be offered to the Father in unison with all that we did to try to imitate Christ. Those together is what we offer to the Father for our salvation. Because if Jesus did all that and we do nothing and just say, well, I accept Jesus, his works are actually like the sufferings of Jesus are going to be our condemnation. God the Father will look to us and say, Jesus did all that and you imitated nothing. You rejected Christ, and in that rejection are condemned to hell. Did you hear that? They will be our condemnation. So we must have something to offer the Father that we unite to the works of Christ. That's how salvation works. Let's continue. I do not speak now, my daughter, of the damnable error of some of the faithful who have introduced into the works of penance the sensuality and vanity of the world, so that they merit greater punishment for their penance than for their sins, since they foster in their penances vain and imperfect purposes, and forget the supernatural ends of penance, which alone give value to penance and life to the soul. What are the supernatural ends of penance? Our humility, our imitation of Christ, atonement for our sins, those first three reasons. Doing penance out of humility, not out of pride to win the esteem of others, but only to win the esteem of God himself. On some other occasion, if necessary, I will speak of this error. Do thou now deplore this blindness and labor with great zeal. For if thy labors were even as great as that of the apostles, martyrs, confessors, they would be no greater than they should be. I'm going to read this one again, and I'm going to say it in my own words. If we do as much penance as the saints, we will only be meeting the minimum requirement. That's how much Jesus and Mary expect of us. If you only do what the saints do, you're going to be doing what you should be doing, not more. So no pride here. There is no room for patting ourselves on the back. As the scriptures say, we are only useless servants. Let that humble you. Now read this. Now listen to this. Chastise the body with ever greater severity. This is the kind, fluffy, Blessed Mother saying these things. Chastise thy body with ever greater severity. And remember that thou art deficient in many things, while thou hast but a short life, and art so weak and incapable of repaying thy debts. This is one of the greatest gifts that I can give you. We must do penance because we are born in sin, because we have a lot of debt to pay off and need to grow in wealth, and because we need to imitate Christ, because that's what he did. And we should love Jesus enough to want to go further than the absolute minimum. And if we do what the saints did, we're only going to be doing what we're supposed to and nothing more. My friends, we must pray. We must attend the sacraments and as much of them as we can. But if we don't do any penance, bodily mortifications, voluntary bodily sufferings, accepting the sufferings that God sends us, along with fasting, so fasting is only one of them, that is penance. The saints teach us all of this. This is basic stuff that we've all forgotten. Take it on. Penance will save your soul and the soul of many and release many souls from purgatory. That was a lot. My friends, God bless you. If this has helped you in any way, please subscribe, like this video, and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.